Welcome to Compass with Heladi Michelia, finding direction for your life.
Greetings of grace and peace. We bless the name of the Lord for the opportunity to bring the word of God. I want to welcome you to Compass, finding direction for your life. There is a place you ought to be. There's a place God wants to take you to. There is something God wants to do in your life and through your life. It is a joy for me to bring the word of God to you as you walk towards that place, towards the direction of the place where God wants to take your life to. It's my joy, you know, to stand with you as you get to that place where God wants to take you to. Well, today is, we are continuing in our teaching on living the life of impact, you know, 40 days of impact, living life of purpose. And today we are on lesson 19. If you have the book, you can go to lesson 19. And lesson 19 is cultivating community. I grew up a little bit of a loner, a little bit of a lone ranger. I really didn't mix up much with people, and I didn't have the skills to mix up well because of that leaning that I grew up with. I didn't get to really mix up a lot with people, and by the time I was getting into life, fully into adulthood, and get to mix with people, for one thing or the other, it became a deficiency in my life. One of the important skills of life is the capacity to really relate. There is what is called emotional intelligence, and people say that emotional intelligence, also known as EQ, is more important than IQ. You know, that's intelligence quotient. That is how brilliant you are intellectually. It's because when a person is not emotionally intelligent, he is deficient. He can't really relate with people well. So, cultivating community is a very critical skill in the life of any man. You know, very, very critical skill in the life of any man. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 3 verse 18, I'm reading the Message translation, you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its result only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. That's the Message translation. Community requires commitment. To build a community, just like building a family, it requires commitment. Only the Holy Spirit can create real fellowship between believers, but He cultivates it with the choices and commitments we make. Paul points out this dual responsibility when he says, you are joined together with peace through the Spirit, so make every effort to continue together in this way. It takes both God's power and our effort to produce a loving Christian community. Unfortunately, many people grow up in families with unhealthy relationships, so they lack the relational skills needed for real fellowship. They must be taught how to get along with and relate others in God's family. So some people don't really have a good background growing up, so they find it difficult in adult life to really relate well with people. And sometimes even when they are in church, they find it difficult to really relate well with people. If you are tired of fake relationship and you would like to cultivate real fellowship and a loving community in your small group or anywhere that you belong to, you know, you will need to make some tough choices and take some risks. And I want to share some of the things that it will take to build some really good relationship. When I say community, it means having a relationship with a number of people, relating with them well, you know, and all of that. Number one, cultivating community takes honesty. It takes honesty. You will have to care enough to lovingly speak the truth, even when you would rather gloss over a problem or ignore an issue. You know, as a pastor, I see this all the time. I see people relating with people. They are not comfortable with their lifestyle. They are not comfortable with what they do, but they are unwilling to, they have this motto of live and let's live. So, I'm not going to get into your business. I'm not going to be involved with what you are doing, but I'm not going to get into your business. Now, that is not only that is compromise, is one thing if you are involved with what the person is doing or you agree with what the person is doing. If you're involved or you agree with what the person is doing, it's okay. If you don't want to talk about it, you can't even talk about it because you are involved and you agree. But if you see something that is wrong in the life of somebody who is close to you, love demands that you bring correction. Love demands that you straighten it out. You know, love demands that you correct the situation. But many people don't want to do that. They don't want to, okay, I don't want to be the black sheep. I don't want to be the one who is talking about this. I don't want to be the one you know, and all of that. So people will see something going wrong. And let me also say that it is one of the spirit of the last days. The Bible says in the last days, you know, the Bible talks about the spirit of lawlessness. You know, the Bible says, you know, people are going to love themselves. They will not love others. They will love. So even as long as that thing is comfortable to them, even if it is bringing harm to others, they are not going to say anything. They're not going to do anything about it. You know, so if you are going to cultivate community, you need to be honest. Well, it is much easier to remain silent when others around us are harming themselves or others with a sinful pattern. It is not the loving thing to do. Most people have no one in their lives who loves them enough to tell them the truth, even when it's painful. So they continue in self-destructive ways. Often we know what needs to be said to someone, but our fears prevent us from saying anything. Many fellowships have been sabotaged by fear. No one had the courage to speak up in the group while a member's life fell apart. So it's very important that if you are going to have good fellowship, you must be honest enough. You know, community takes honesty. You have to be honest enough to cultivating community takes humility, self-importance, smugness, and stubborn pride destroys fellowship faster than anything else. You know, when you look down on people, when you feel people are not up to your level. I see this also. As a pastor, I see this all the time in church. There are some people who just feel that they're in a different class. They're in a higher class than other people. And men, look, relax. All of us are human. All of us are challenged with the same challenge. All of us have struggles. All of us have issues. No matter how wealthy you are, no matter how successful you are by any standard you feel you are successful, no matter how educated you are, the human race is plagued with the same challenges. And you're not going to do anything serious unless you bring yourself down to relate with people. And this principle I'm sharing works in your office, works in the church, and works anywhere else. You cannot be arrogant, you cannot be smug, you can't be snobbish and still be able to build community. Humility builds bridges. Humility is the oil that smoothes and soothes relationship. You know, this is very, very important. That's why the Bible says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Very important. Very important. So humility is important if you're going to build a serious community. Humility is very important. Cultivating community takes courtesy. Courtesy is respecting our differences, is being considerate of each other's feelings, and being patient with people who irritate us. You know, this is very important. You have to have courtesy. You know, so God put this, you know, God, you know, there are some people who are very not easy to deal with. You know, they are called extra grace required. You know, you have to have extra grace to deal with some people. God put these people in our midst for both their benefit and ours. They are an opportunity, you know, for growth and test of our desire for fellowship. You know, so we will love them as brothers and sisters and treat them with dignity. You know, so, and it is a test of what we claim to believe, and also at the same time, you know, is an opportunity for them. It gives them the opportunity to see true love in action. It gives them an opportunity, you know, to be able to walk with people who are different from them. Cultivating community takes confidentiality, and I think that in my experience, this is probably the number one reason why people don't like community. They don't like community because they feel that if anything they say in that community, there's a tendency for somebody to go out and talk about it. And once people feel that they are not protected, you know, in a community, they will not open up in that community. Once people feel that they are not protected, they are not going to open up. So cultivating community takes confidentiality. Only in the safe environment of warm acceptance and trusted confidentiality will people open up and share their deepest hurts, needs, and mistakes. Confidentiality does not mean keeping silent while your brother or sister sins. It means that what is shared in your group needs to stay in your group, and the group needs to deal with it, not gossip to others about it. God hates gossip, especially when it is thinly disguised as a prayer request. For someone else, God says gossip is spread by wicked people. They stir up trouble and break up friendship. The Bible says that a tale bearer, that's the King James version of it, a tale bearer separates close friends. So some people who carry stories from here and there. Gossip always causes hurt and divisions, and it destroys fellowship. And God is very clear that we are to confront those who cause divisions amongst us. Yes, the Bible says, mark them. You know, in fact, if you are going to have a healthy fellowship, if you're going to have healthy groups, you must learn the art of marking certain people. The Bible says, mark them who cause divisions amongst you. Mark them. Mark them. So the Bible says you should mark them. So this is very, very important. It's very, very critical. You mark them. Take note of them. Mark them. Mark them. Don't give them space. Just mark them. Take note that these are the people who are bringing problems, and then you will know what to do with these people. You see, one of the greatest things you can ever have is to have fellowship. One of the greatest things you can ever have is to have fellowship. And if you build a life of fellowship, you will discover that your life is going to be easy. You're going to always have assistance when you need assistance. The story is told of a man who lived in a particular community. And whenever people had something to celebrate or a challenge comes up, he would just put some money in an envelope and send it, but he would not come by himself. You see, fellowship requires presence, but he will not come. He will just put some money in an envelope and then he will send it. So, you know, after a while, one day he had a problem and everybody in the area put money in an envelope and sent it to his house. You know, one day there's a problem and everybody put money in an envelope and sent it to him. So we have to be very, very careful. We have to be very, very careful. We must intentionally build fellowship. We must intentionally make up your mind that you are going to be, if you are in a community, don't be the one who doesn't relate to people. Greet your neighbors. You know, a day will come, they will be your deliverers. You know, greet your neighbors, relate to the people around you. You know, sometimes you come to your area and people are maybe playing soccer or everybody's outside talking. Stop your car, Oga. Come down, greet people, relate to people, shake hands, you know. Get to know, when you have new neighbors, get to know them. You never know the great deliverance God will have. If you're in an office and then there's a new staff, relate with the person, not because you're expecting anything from them, but that is how to cultivate community. God is a communal person. He doesn't live in, God does not like isolated people. You know, and God himself is not isolated. He's in heaven. The Bible says the heaven is his throne, but he dwells in the praises of his people. The explains God to us, you will wonder how it takes God to squeeze himself to come and dwell in our praises. You know, the heavens is his throne, the Bible, and the earth is his footstool, and yet he comes down to have fellowship with us, to relate with us. Come down from where you are. Everything that God will do, he will do it through somebody. Right now, the miracle you are expecting is in somebody's hands. How you relate with people determine the things that come into your life. So I want to stop here today, and I want to believe that you are blessed. I want to believe that God has said something to you. I want to believe you have been encouraged. If there's anything between you and people, try and resolve it quickly and continue on the road of fellowship. There's no way we can relate with people and will not have issues. But don't let the issues stop you from relating with people. Well, I want to encourage you to enjoy these teachings the most. Get a copy of the book. We are giving free copies of the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. If you call the number at the end of this study, they are going to get a free copy to you. And you can join us, and you can also have your own personal study with it. Today is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we're glad in it.
I am sure you have been blessed by today's episode of Compass. Let's continue the interaction on our social media platforms at Hella E. Michelia on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time, keep moving in the direction of your destiny.